It's upside down. Though in some ways that might make more sense, or be a better example. How many of you recognize that poster? Oh, you can't see it. Oh, okay. So how many of you recognize this? I've seen it before. That's one comment. And a lot of, where is this going? The choir. I'm standing up here, and I all of a sudden noticed that my point is a little bit obscured, because this is actually out in our narthex. And if you come in the front door, you have a chance to see it, all right? But I'm standing up there, and I'm noticing that with that door open, there's no chance to see it because it would be behind that door, all right? But let's let that go for the moment, please. It's what you'd see, or one of the things you'd see as you come in, Pentecost. I was thinking about using that as a picture on the front of our bulletins for the season of Pentecost. Then I thought, people don't come in this way. They don't know this poster. They'll think, hey, Mark's got a nice poster. Wonder where he keeps that. Most of us enter in this way. And that allows us to see something completely different. We have this space, and we have a couple of banners. And if nothing else is happening, we've got a lot of pews. There's a real sort of beauty when nobody's in here. There's more beauty when you are here. And that's also true of other sanctuaries. St. John the Divine is the world's largest cathedral. It's in New York City, an Episcopal cathedral. And if you enter through the front doors, you are presented with an incredible, awesome space. You get to see just two football fields with enough left over for a tennis court behind them of a sanctuary. And you can see up, way up, you can see an elevated area with some choir chambers to either side, a huge altar, cross over it, and just all sorts of stuff. To your left and to your right, you have all these little bays with stained glass windows, and it's just awesome. I mean, there's just no other way of describing that. It's just amazing. If, however, you come in the side door and you look in, what you're going to see are a bunch of folding chairs and a couple of tapestries on the far side that look like they need some renovation work. All right? Not nearly as awesome or impressive. It depends on how you come. It depends where you enter into these holy places as to what you're going to start with. And we have two scriptures this morning, both of which I think of as doors, and which one we will use to enter into God's presence is important because they're different. Very different. Now, to be clear, I hope you all knew that there were the two stories in Genesis. They disagree on the order. So, you know, some of these things, I'm taking for granted that you already knew. The one, because usually what happens is these two stories get combined in funny ways so that we think there's only one. But I'm trying to let aside all of the scriptural stuff and just deal with these two particular stories about who humanity is. And in both cases, we're there to take care of creation. We have stewardship, we have dominion, we are to till it, all right? But the two stories are really different. In the second one, the one that we usually talk about as original sin or the fall from grace, we have a story that says that humanity in the man and the woman sin. They sin so grievously that it is a stain on all humanity forever. And we, from this, end up with some theology that's sometimes called worm theology, as in we are as low as a worm is. We are as worthless as a worm. There is nothing good in us. Now, that, of course, changes with the Ten Commandments. When we follow those, we are redeemed. Jesus comes and shows us a new way to live, and the death of Jesus redeems us as well. And we have this belief that it is in baptism that the stain of original sin is washed away. But in this story, there is just this incredible sense that humans are cursed. That's what God does. The serpent was right, I hope you noticed. We did not die. We got cursed. We got, if you will, a logical consequence for our actions in this story. This isn't what happened. This is a story of people trying to make sense out of what they saw. And so in that story, humanity is cursed. A lot of Western theology and faith structures are set up because they have gone through that door. We don't spend enough time going through that other door. Eastern religions tend to spend a little bit more time going through that door. And Matthew Fox, decades ago, wrote a book called Original Blessings. And in that, he talks about coming in through that door into our faith. Because this entire first story is filled with God saying, "This is good." Just about every day, he looks at what has happened and he says, "Ah, this is good." And he keeps going every day until he finally ends up day six with creation and humanity. And he says, "Ah, this is good. This is very good." Wow. It's so good that he says, "We're going to have another day because we just have to celebrate this. We just have to sort of chill and enjoy all of this." It's Sabbath. Sabbath is what makes creation complete. All right, we're going to maybe more Sabbath later. But the point is that all of this starts with the idea that creation is blessed. It is good. And that opens up a whole new sort of strand of theology for us. In this theology, we're a blessed creation. We are blessed, told to multiply, be fruitful, and we do. And we forget that part of our stories, and we allow the other story to cast this pall, this cloud over all that we do and think and feel and believe. We worry that we're never going to be worthy. We believe that we are sinners and sinful and wretched and horrible and worms.
That's what we tend to hold on to, because that's the door we've come in. And in the Western churches, that story of original blessings is at the other door, and frankly, is probably behind the open door, so that we don't even see it if we do come in that way.
But I want you to know we've got both of these. And how you enter in to this sense of holiness is really important. Because you can keep on working and keep on working, trying to deal with that sense of being cursed and sinful, even though we never feel that we've completed that, gotten over that, even though our faith is very clear. Jesus came to save us. Jesus saved us. Jesus' death redeemed us. Jesus' resurrection changed everything. But even with that, we still go back and we say, we're not worthy. We're only human. So try to spend some of your time coming in through the other door. Come in and say, not only are we worthy, we're beloved by God. Not only are we beloved, we are important for creation. Not only that, we are good. We are very good, and all creation is very good. And it's really important that we know that, because it's our job to take care of something that's very good. And we're very good. If you haven't guessed, I tend to use the door of original blessing much more often than I use the door of original sin. We have that story. And one of the interpretations of that story is that we have sinned. There are other interpretations that talk about humanity and God and our relationship maturing to the point where we need to move out of home and make some of our own decisions. But whichever door we come in is going to put us onto a particular path. And I don't know that you got to choose, but I really want you to travel the path of original blessing, at least sometimes. Take the off-ramp, hit the rest area, and then take the slow route of original blessings. Because that's how I see you, each and every one of you, as good, as part of creation, and very good. As a blessing. Thank you. Amen.